Say grace and peace to the household of faith. Thank God for everyone here. Thank God for even those that may be on their way. Amen. Thank you for this, the rich word of God. What's so good, what's so wonderful, and what's so kind is a great God that we serve. Amen. You want to serve him because he has called you to serve him. Amen. You're not serving God out of no intellectual thing on your part. Hello, because there are some people that, if that was the case, has nothing to do with intellect, has nothing to do with nothing. It's nothing to the fact that you're serving him because he has called you to serve him. There are, hallelujah, people with PhD degrees that have all types of knowledge, but they have nothing, no knowledge concerning the things of God. And then there may be someone that may have third grade education and that's on fire for God. Mm-hmm. We're not minimizing education at all, by all means, but understand that all we have is because of the goodness and grace of God. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I want to focus on today, and this hope of the grace of God, we'll burn this into our heart, that in God's plan, God's eternal plan and purpose, concerning all things, not some things, but all things, were executed and actualized by his decree in eternity. And that's what we want to focus on. We have to get up in the spiritual realm, saints, in the unseen realm, the realm where we walk by faith and not by sight. And once we get into that realm and see that all things have been decreed in eternity, what you go through in time, you can have peace and joy. Because you can understand that this is only a manifestation of God's decree. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your grace, kindness, and your love, and your mercy. Father, we thank you for your people. Father God, we thank you for Jesus, his shed blood, his living name. Oh God, help us to see that, oh God, that you are in control of all things. And by you, all things exist. So Father, we ask that you would just help us to stay in the Spirit, Father. Oh God, anything that's not of the Spirit, Father, we ask you by your decree, move it aside, Father, and let everything be done to glorify thee and thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to you, Father, we'll be mindful always to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' wonderful and majestic name. And all the people of God say, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. And thank God for everyone again. Thank God for just being back on vacation after the mother's family reunion. And as for those of you that know, and some of you that may not know, my mom has now gone to latter stage Alzheimer's disease. And just being there and all of that, you know, in spite of sometimes she could remember me and sometimes she couldn't. But the fact that you could rest in the fact that all things are decreed by eternity. And you could just rejoice and just walk by faith and know that God knows what he's doing. Amen? Amen. And so this time, let's get right into the Word of God. Let's go to the book of Romans, please. Romans chapter 8. Amen. I believe, Deacon Gavin, God bless everyone here and thank God. Romans chapter 8, we'll be reading. We'll go ahead and we'll read a very familiar passage, very familiar verse, Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. What we'll do, we'll read this from the King James, and then we'll go right into the Greek, because there are some things that the King James, the brethren, did not bring out. But with the help of the Lord, we will bring this out as we continue our study and exegesis. Amen? Right. Again, Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 28 through 30, and Deacon Gavin will be our reader. Amen. Again, Romans chapter 28, beginning with Romans chapter 8, beginning with the 28th verse.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. mm-hmm. and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
Now, what we're going to do, Deacon, we can go right into the Greek New Testament, and I believe, you know, it's one thing about learning of no matter what knowledge you're given, whether it's in the spiritual realm or the secular, whatever realm, the key to learn is repetition. Repetition is a very important component of learning. And the one thing that Pastor always mentioned, some people say, why do y'all go with the Greek? Well, first of all, understand again that the English language is a very, if you look at the term young language compared to the other languages, and the Bible, understand now, the New Testament was written in Greek. So it doesn't take an MIT scholar to understand that if the Bible was originally written in Greek, then where do you think you should go to find the many of times the true meaning of a lot of words? Well, in fact, what is the Word of God conveying? So based on that, let's go right into the Greek. We need to bring some things out as we continue our reading. Amen.
Amen. Romans chapter 8, beginning at the 28th verse,
okay.
Greek interlineal text. And we know that to the loving God, or the ones loving God, mm-hmm. all things works together God.
Now let's start right here, because we're going to kind of comment all things. First of all, looking at this further, God worketh all things. See, all things are controlled by God. God worketh all things for your good or for good. Mm-hmm. It didn't say some things, saints. It didn't say a few things. All things are working together for your good. Now, I know, see, the natural part of us would say, look, all these bad things that I've had in life. By the way, if you have lived more than a few hours, you've had some bad things that you perceive as bad. We perceive these things as bad because we look at things in time. But we need to understand that God, who has decreed all things, cannot make no mistakes, because everything is decreed by God, so he worketh all things for our good.
Amen.
Amen. Now, moving one step further, let's continue.
All things works together God for good to the according or the ones according to purpose called being.
In other words, you were called. See, God works everything for, by the way, God has already worked everything out for your good. It's being worked out now in time, and he has already worked everything out for your good. You are not going to be called according to purpose. You have already been called. All of these things are what we call aorist tense. Past complete action. Everything you see here, God has already decreed. It's already happened.
Already.
Now somebody say, well, I don't see it. We walk by faith and not by sight. In fact, we can see some things here that has not even been manifested yet, but it's already decreed by God. And once it's decreed by God, it's a fact.
Amen.
In the things of God, actuation, decree, always begins before manifestation in time.
Right.
You were saved. You were not saved by no acts on your part. You were saved because you were in the mind of God, saved before the foundation of the world. Before God said, let there be light, God had you chosen in him before the foundation of the world. It wasn't tongues. It wasn't you shaking the preacher's hand. It wasn't nothing on your part. It was all done because of the eternal goodness of God. Let's move further deep. Amen. Okay, D.
Amen. Verse 29. Because whom he foreknew.
When did he foreknew you, saints? Oh, somebody say, oh, God foreknew me 20 years ago when I got baptized in Jesus' name. Okay, that's part of my upbringing. You know, it's like when you got baptized in Jesus' name, when you came up with some tongues, then at that point God knew you. No, those are only manifestation acts. It wasn't about the tongues. It wasn't about water. It was all about what God had decreed for me before the foundation of the world. I could not run away from it. I could not get around it. God caused that to happen. God brought salvation to my heart, into your heart. God did everything because it was actualized by his decree in eternity.
Amen.
Let's keep going deep.
Mm-hmm. Also, He foreordained, conformed to the image of the Son of Him.
Past complete action.
Right.
You were foreordained, you were conformed. When? It was all done in eternity.
Yes, sir.
Keep going, Dave.
For thee to be him firstborn among many brothers, but whom he foreordained.
Past complete actions. He foreordained you, saints. He foreknew you. Somebody said, you mean to me God knew all the mistakes I would ever make? You see, if you get it right, if you get the workings of God right in eternity, you won't be so beat up and so condemned in time.
Right.
First of all, our gospel, you can't stay in your gospel, saints. Mm-hmm. Our gospel, Romans 8:1 tells us that therefore there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Period. No condemnation. Why? Because who God has foreknew, who God predestined, God cannot make any mistakes. We may make some mistakes in time, but God can never make no mistakes in eternity, because He is the perfect God who has never made a mistake, and He never will make a mistake, because there's any time God will ever make one mistake, He will actually destroy Himself, and we know that's impossible. He is the perfect God who knows all things. Why? Because all things have been actualized and decreed in eternity.
Right.
Come on, Deep. Let's move on.
All right. He foreordained. These also he called. And whom he called, these also he justified.
You were justified. You were justified. You were sanctified.
Yeah.
Now, again, my background said, I pray that I hold out to the end, that y'all pray that I'll be sanctified. No, it's not a matter of you being sanctified. Sanctified, that's an aorist tense. This is all what? Past completed action.
Yeah.
If you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, you are already sanctified. And you are sanctified in time because God sanctified you in eternity. Let's move on, D.
All right. These also he justified, but whom he justified, these also he glorified.
You glorified, saints, by decree. You have your glorified body now by decree. No headache, no diabetes, no cancer. By decree, you are already glorified. Somebody said, man, something's wrong with you. How can you say I'm glorified when I got all these problems in my body? By decree, you are glorified. It was done by decree, so it shall manifest in time. You can't do anything about it.
That's right.
It's already a fact.
Yes.
See, the problem we have is that we sequence God's workings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we say sequence God's workings, we go to work, we get up, what? We look at our clock, we got everything in sequence.
Uh-huh.
And that's okay in time.
Uh-huh.
But the problem is that when you transfer the sequence in time to eternity, you would be all messed up. In God, there are no sequences. It's one decree, one action, one deal. That's it. No sequence in the workings of God. He saved you. That's it. And you are what's being worked out now. Your job. That husband fussing at you. The wife fussing at you. Your layoff. Your sickness. Your health. Your prosperity. Your lack. All of these things, saints, are a result of the decree of God. And if you don't look at life this way, you would beat yourself up all the time. Say, look at all the mistakes I made. Look at all these things I made. Everything was done by God's decree. So going back to glorification, yes. When the Lord comes back, we shall be glorified. But when we say we shall be glorified, that is a time element. You shall be because you were.
Right.
You shall be glorified in time because you were glorified in eternity. And you tell me that Paul's writings, the gospel, the grace of God, doesn't liberate you. It is sad to say that people say, well, you know, I can't understand Paul's writings. You better stay in your gospel, because if you don't stay in your gospel, nothing makes any sense.
Amen.
For years, the one thing that terrified me was that I was afraid that I one day was going to miss the rapture. Why? Because it's like I was taught that if you have a good day, you better pray the Lord come that day, because you will come up.
Yeah.
But if you have a bad day, about everyone here have had bad days,
yeah.
and you don't walk, if you don't stay in this gospel, you will say, oh, you're going to be here tonight. Oh, Lord, I'm glad that you didn't come. I would have missed it. But if you know that God have you marked, picked before the foundation of the world, that if you are a member in the body of Christ, you shall make the reason you shall make the rapture, because you were made by decree. It was made by decree. You shall be called, we shall be caught up with the Lord in time, because you were caught up with the Lord in eternity. Now, isn't it glorious to know that, man, one day when the devil, you know, the devil slaps you side of the head and you had the worst day in the world, you say, well, hey, if the Lord come back, God does not look at my failures. He does not look at my disappointments. He look at the fact that I am a member in his glorious body, the body of Christ. And if you look at things from this vein, you can have peace and contentment and joy to know that God's purpose in eternity is in fact his accomplishments, which were indeed enacted, actualized by his decree in eternity. Once recognition of this fact renders saints the extent of all depictions of actions in time as solely manifestations of such, we should develop our thinking to the point that everything that was happening, it's not initiation. It doesn't begin. It's not a manifestation.
Right.
See, you look at it from the fact that you in church, you're looking at the fact that you initiated whatever and you came here today. No, you being here is only a manifestation of what was already decreed. And when you look at it that way, you can have peace and joy. So when this cogitation of thinking is improperly embraced, God's purpose solidly entrenched in his sovereignty. Notice, God's purpose is entrenched in his sovereignty. Ordered by his infinite wisdom. Ratified by his limitless power. And cemented by his immutability. He cannot change. He never will change because the whole things are decreed. So everything is ordered by God. The reason that all things are ordered, because all things are decreed. Let's corroborate one verse here. Let's go to Psalms, D.
All right.
See, now we can stay in our gospel, but it's okay to go to the, see, some of y'all, see, hey, the whole Bible is true. But you need to understand, when you go to the other writings, you're looking at it from a limited point of information. For example, let's look at Psalms 37:23. Let's read that. Psalms 37:23. Did you get it? Okay.
Yes, sir. Amen. Psalms 37:23.
Right.
Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way.
Amen. The steps of a good man, or we can say an elect man, chosen man, are ordered by the Lord. But in fact, we can even the whole creation steps are ordered by the Lord because he controls all things. Amen. Even that, somebody mean that sinner. Yeah, his steps are ordered by the Lord. See, anything that's not ordered, controlled by God, what you're really saying is God's not in control. If God controls all things, which he does, then he orders all things. So understand, your steps are ordered by God because your steps are a manifestation of God's decree. That thought that came to your mind. When you understand this in eternity, you can understand things in time. That thought that comes to your mind, that God, you see how God's leading you in a certain direction. You only have that because God decreed that to be. He creates all things, the invisible and the invisible, the seen and the unseen, everything for his goodness and purpose. So your steps are ordered by the Lord. Amen. And this is, again, revealed in the exegesis of Romans 8:28. Paul reveals to the enlightened mind that the foreknowledge enjoined the foreordained. The foreordained enjoined the call. The call, hallelujah, enjoined the justified. And the justified enjoined the glorified. all by enactment by his eternal decree.
Right.
In this light, congruency exudes the distinction of God's of the eternal characteristic of non-sequential application. See, there are no sequences in eternity. God had one decree. He has a decree for this whole world. He's a decree for humanity, a decree for creation, a decree for your life. Everything, one action, one decree. Why? Because God is not controlled by time. God is not limited by time. God created time. Now, it was all created for his purpose, because everything that God creates is for his purpose. But time really benefits us. It doesn't benefit God. Amen. God doesn't need time. In fact, you go over there in Revelation, it states that one day time would be no more. There, God one day is going to get rid of time. So time, if time has such eternal value, why is it that one day God is going to get rid of it? Time is only for manifestation purposes. Hallelujah. So in this sense, God's perception of things is equal to their actual existence. God's perception of your salvation was equal to the fact that you were saved. Thus, his decrees of things is equal to their enacted application. God's purpose of manifestation in physical creation is necessary exclusively for the testimony of his eternal workings to those whom he has created. Moreover, his purpose of eternal decree is necessary in declaration of the spiritual state of his fixed purpose and consummated progress, which is in essence the demarcation of existence. The unbridled doctrine teaching of all existence have been actualized exclusively in God's decree in eternity. See, you hear a lot of saint people. I hear this all the time. In fact, you ask 100 saints, children of God. I don't care what denomination they come from, what persuasion. You ask them, do you believe God controls all things? And most of them say, oh yeah, I believe God. Yeah. But when you can have a conversation with them for 5 minutes, right, and it'll tell you, right, they really do not believe that God controls all things.
Right.
Amen. God controls all things because he is sovereign. He controls all things because he does what he wants to do, when he wants, how he wants. He controls all things. That's why he is sovereign. And you know, it's a sad feeling to go through life thinking that God does not control all things, because if you feel that you're in control of all things, and what, with our depraved natural self and all the mistakes that we're prone to make, if you feel that all things begin and end in you, you will be very, very upset most of the time. And the reason that God's people are upset, depressed, most of the time, because they feel that the whole creation of God centers around them. And you will make mistakes in and out. It's part of life. A man, another cooperation. Job said, a man born a woman is what? Plenty of trouble. And there, one thing about trouble, there's enough to go around for everybody. Amen. There's enough to go around. Amen. Hallelujah. So the problem is that those who embrace free will, and we hear it's all about free will. See, that's the problem. It's called humanistic intrusions. Those who embrace free will, they militate or fight against the sovereignty of God, in that they always find a question. For example, Romans 9:14, when Paul talked about God being in control of all things, and he is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And then the verse 9:14 states, they're saying, is there unrighteousness with God? In other words, Paul was so outraged by the questioning of God's justice that he dismissed the question with a decisive denial. To this assertion, the apostle cried, who are you, old man? Or we can say, who are you, depraved man or natural man that reviled against God? Shall the clay say to the potter, why have you made me thus? Depraved man accused God of being unjust in his purpose that he saved some and all. In corroboration, John, in the vision of Revelation, by the way, the revelation of Jesus Christ, heard the song of Moses saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, Just and true are what? Thy ways.
Right.
Thy kingdom saints.
Right.
Read that in Revelation 15:3. See, the problem is this. And this is one problem that is bombarded in Christendom. Is that people, God's people. Now, everybody, we're not talking about the world, okay? We're talking about God's people. So let's bring this to God's people. God's people, for some reason, cannot understand, Pastor, why God saves some and don't save others. See, you have the wrong cogitation there. Your thinking should be, thank God he saved me. That's what your thinking should be. What God does for the other, that's God's business. And if there's anything, we should say, God had no right to save nobody. Because we were all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were all deserving of an eternal state without God.
Yes, 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 yes.
So we should be thank God that he saved us.
Yes.
That he saved some. Amen. It's God's business. How? It's no way that we in our naturally depraved state can fathom or comprehend the awesomeness of God. Even in another writings, Isaiah in his limited knowledge at that time said, thou his ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. Why? Because we are depraved flesh. He is the omnipotent God who can never make a mistake. Amen. And with the peace of God, see with that knowledge that you have, that God in eternity knows who belong to him. It's not about the background. It's not about whatever. It's all about the what? Decree of God. I can tell you some of the foolish things I've done. See, if you focus in these writings, Paul's writings, it'll keep you mature. You'll grow in his modest grace. But if you move outside these writings, again, we're not talking about the whole Bible is okay, wonderful. But if you try to go to the other parts of the Bible for doctrine, you'd be doing all kind of foolish things. I tell you what, all kind of foolish things.
Bring it out.
I remember I would be people on their deathbed, and some people I knew, and my perception is that, well, hey, by testimony, I felt they weren't saved because by testimony, their walk was not what I perceived it should have been. And one time, a few years ago, I ran to the hospital. My old thing, Lord, let me give them the sinner's prayer and let them get saved. And one account, the person died when I got to the hospital. And the thought was that, hey, you didn't make it. If you had gotten here and had said the sinner's prayer, they would have been saved. Not knowing if that person was the elect of God, they're already saved.
Already.
Paul, our gospel would keep you out of a lot of foolish stuff. Because you always look at things from the eternal viewpoint in eternity and not looking at things in time.
Amen.
There is no unequality in God's ways. How can man on such a low level of depravity rise to the level of questioning God's justice? Sovereignty evinces that there is no superior to whom God is accountable for his deeds. In other words, God does not have to account to no one for his deeds. He worketh everything out after the counsel of his will.
Come on now. Amen.
It's his will, not our will.
Amen.
And God's will be done.
Amen.
And the reason that God's will be done, because what God's will has been done by decree in eternity.
Amen.
And if it was done by decree in eternity, it shall manifest itself in time.
Amen.
It must. Sovereignty evinces that there's no superior to whom God is accountable for his deeds. Therefore, God cannot be guilty of what has been construed by some as unrighteous arbitraries. Advocates of free will theology are incapable of making the proper distinction between God's purpose that was actualized in his decree in eternity and the manifestation of such in time.
Amen.
Although these two are illustrative different in their applications, they are not contradictory in their processes. God's purpose and their enactments are from eternity, but his manifested exhibitions of them are mankind's comprehension in the sphere of time. God's eternal purpose cannot be hindered because it is what God has already accomplished through the perception of such by decree, and it cannot be hindered God's decree must come to pass. It is impossible to change. The immutable God. The reason why God, because God is immutable, because His decree must come to pass. Because His decree has already been decreed. God's commands and directives are what man should do in alignment with God's nature, but not necessarily what has been decreed by God, what man shall do. I tell you what, I repeat this again, because see, this is another one that messed a lot of God's people up. Amen. Let me, I repeat this. God's commands and directives are what man should do in alignment with God's nature, but not necessarily what has been decreed by what man shall do. But in both cases, God is still in control. What God has decreed on one side and what manifests on the other, He's still in control. Oh God. For example, God has decreed. We can say this by nature. I wrote a couple of these down here. By nature, we can say that, we can say by nature, you know, that husband and wife married. By nature, we can say that as a natural policy, it's good if they what? Stay together for 50 years and leave out of here. That's what? By God's nature. But we know that by God's decree, there are going to be some divorces. By nature, we know that God's nature is against murder. Mm-hmm. But by God's decree, some of God's people are going to check out here with a bullet. Man. Somebody said, oh, you know, oh, and see the problem people say, they'll say, oh, this Christian went, they went to the what? They went to the Comerica Bank, they were making a withdrawal, and just like that, what? There was a robbery, and somebody got killed. In a moment they'll say, oh, the devil came in and took over. See, when you look at the devil as an independent entity apart from God, it's almost like the devil has called that person, that spoke to that person's mind to say, shoot him up, and the God was over here doing nothing. Understand that that devil was created by God. Now, we're not saying that there was no satanic involvement there, but understand that all of that is still under the umbrella of God's decree. We know by decree. Amen. That it's decreed that God's people, when we say decree, it's like it's God's basic, say nature, that we should be what? Embracing sound doctrine. Pastors read it earlier. Well, we should be surround ourselves with sound doctrine. But by decree, some of God's people are going to check out of here, leave this earth totally confused. But God's in control. In fact, I was going to the gym, and someone from Jehovah's Witness, you know, gave me some piece of literature, and the Bible does tell us to be kind, right? I didn't beat the person in the head, but I just said nice, but I said thanks, but no thanks. But you know what? I could not put that person down and say, oh, that person, they are embracing sound doctrine, so they ain't saved. You couldn't say that. Why? The point is this. It's by God's nature that what? That we surround ourselves with sound doctrine, but we know there are a lot of Christians that are saved in eternity, what? Are embraced with what? Unsound doctrine. Amen. That was a result, that's a result of God's decree. So whether this is, whether you're around sound doctrine or whether you unsound doctrine, God is still in control of both spectrums. He's still in control. You see, when we focus on the mature writings of the Apostle Paul, we say that it amazed me for 20 years. I never put my hands on it, but I was wondering for 20 years why a lot of preachers stayed out of the writings of Paul. You know, Romans through Hebrews, those were epistles. That's where we are today, church. That's the direction for our life today. And I understand now, because see, Paul's writings does not deal with a lot of the physical things.
No.
Now, he does deal with it, but it's not on a prioritized plane.
No.
Amen. But then some of God's people say, well, you know what? Like, for example, Deacon Gary just read Psalms. And someone said, well, you know what? The whole Bible is true. So let me just guide my life by the book of Psalms. And by the way, it's a good word of God. It's a lot of good. I love Psalms too, but see, when you say you're going to go to the other parts of the Bible and let that be a direction for your life, you're going to eventually read something in those writings that's going to totally clash And see, in our gospel, it tells us our past, present, future, all on a higher level of information. And then somebody said, well, just give me, you know, I'm not really interested in the more mature knowledge. I just want to read something. Well, see, look, they don't mean that, for example. Now, they don't mean that. I'm giving an example. Now, bear with me, because, you know, sometimes Paul would go in and he would kind of give some natural event, but then he would shoot right back to the Spirit.
Right.
So bear with me for the next 4 minutes. I'm going to share something about 4 minutes. But by God's help, I'm going to go right back to this writing. Amen. Right back. There was a movie. Amen. My wife tried to get me for a year to read. I ain't got time. So on vacation, I had time, so I watched this movie, and I tell you, even if you ain't to movies, I highly recommend this movie, highly recommend it, because it's a true story. And some of you may have seen it's called Someone the Lord Made. And in this story, true story, it happened in the 30s, about a medical doctor, a surgeon, who was head of surgery at Johns Hopkins University. Now, this story is for those people that say they want to abide in limited knowledge. And in this time, this man was a surgeon. And at that time, bypass surgery was unheard of. God raised up an African-American man who wasn't even a doctor. Because of the depression, he dropped out of school. But God gave him a gift to know about how the heart works.
I hear you.
And God called this man. God raised him up. And this man, Vivian Thomas, who God raised up, actually knew more about the surgery than the actual trained doctors.
Amen.
So what happened, doctor, the surgeon, saw this gift, and he used this term, hey man, you're something that the Lord made. Now, at that time, they had what was called blue babies. And these are babies that were, you know, born with no oxygen in there, and, you know, going to their lungs. And they had this color blue. And so what happened, they came up with, Vivian Thomas and Dr. Albert Blaylock, they came up with a strategy, what we call basically bypass today. Again, now, at that time, it was unheard of. So when they did the surgery on the baby, and thank God it was a successful surgery, and you can see the baby was blue, and when they bypassed all of this, in fact, Vivian had the dream, and the God in the dream showed him basically how to bypass those arteries and connect the heart to the lungs, to the veins that would cause the blood to flow. But the point of the story is, the bottom line is this. There was so much, in other words, they were considered heretics. The whole medical community said, told them, you are crazy. It can't be done. In other words, they were persecuted by the medical community because heart bypass surgery had never been done prior to what that time in the 30s and 40s of Johns Hopkins. Added to this, there was another institution that persecuted them, and it was the church. Because the church thinking at that time was that if you have a problem with your heart, that automatically, that's God's will that you can't do anything about it. You're gonna die. So the point of the story is this: two men, they were considered heretics for even thinking about operating on the heart. Mm-hmm. Notice, the majority said it can't be done. The minority said no, it can be done. And the problem is that, number one, just because they were what? Considered heretics. Did that make it wrong? Just because most people today do not believe in the sovereignty of God and election. Just because most of the Christian world do not believe that God has decreed all things in eternity. Does that make it wrong? Well, if that's the case, there would be many heretics. If that was the case, Jesus was a heretic. Because most people, the religious world, rejected the gospel of the kingdom. If that was the case, the Apostle Paul was a heretic because most of the religious world rejected the gospel of the grace of God. So just because the majority accepts something, that does not make it right.
Come on, yeah.
I hear you.
So by their vision, that was the key to what we have to see now as a normal procedure, bypass surgery. But added to that, let's add one other thing to the story. People that say, I just want to abide in the other dispensations where there's limited knowledge. Well, let's suppose that you went to your doctor tomorrow and the doctor tells you that your tinker is all messed up and that you need surgery. Now, the doctor gives you two options. He'll say, Miss Jones or Mr. Jones, I'll give you two options. We can give you this surgery with the best knowledge, the best source of information that we have at this hospital, or we can take you back to, say, 1930 at that time, and we can give you the surgery based on the information that they had at that time. No, there's not a... My point is this. Everyone here, you will want to have the most up-to-date knowledge, the most up-to-date information for your physical condition. And y'all knew I had surgery 2 years ago. And my whole question is, what is the most up-to-date about there? I want the most advanced knowledge in this surgery, in the situation I had 2 years ago. So, having said this, my question is this. Why is it that when it comes to physical things, God's people say, no, I want the most advanced knowledge. But when it comes to spiritual things, they want to abide in dispensations where there's limited knowledge, limited information.
Come on, preacher.
Why is that?
I hear you.
So,
oh my God.
Just like Vivian Thomas and Blaylock at that time, if you look back at his, if you were a doctor, you look back at that time, you say, man, they had those little instruments that was so what simple. But that was the information they had at that time. But today, in this time, we have more mature information, more advanced knowledge that God has given in the medical arena. In the spiritual arena, you cannot get more advanced knowledge than the writers of the Epistle of Paul.
Can't do it. Nowhere.
So, if you're going to get the more, if you're going to move into the more advanced knowledge in the physical arena, what more reason should we abide in the more advanced knowledge in the spiritual arena? That is the gospel of the grace of God.
Amen.
So, the key is this. Abide in areas where you have more information. And that is those epistles. And we just read. And then account. In fact, going back to what Deacon just read, David said, if you were to go back in time, Deacon just read, the scripture says, our steps are order of the Lord. If you could go back and you ask David, King David, let's say you go back, you say, David, explain what you just said. David, you just said, God has spoken to you, my steps are order of the Lord. David could not give you the information that we have today because David's information was based on a limited contract. David could not tell you about the eternal workings of God. David could not tell you about all things that are decreed by eternity. David's knowledge conveyance would be governed by the Mosaic law because that was a contract that was a gospel, the contract that he was about in at that time. So, we need to abide in the area where you have more information. And when you abide in this area, you won't be fussing about baptisms. About what? Tongues. About all these things that have divided the body. And the one reason why these things have divided the body is because people are jumping outside of what? Dispensations for direction. You go there for information. You don't go there for direction. It's great to read about Noah's Ark. The Lord, what? Used the rod and the Red Sea opened up. It's great for information. It's great to see about what? About the Hebrew boys that were delivered. You know, sir. But now if you go there for what? Direction.
I hear you.
That was for information at that time. If you go there for direction, you say, oh, just like they were delivered, all Christians are going to be delivered.
So,
well, let me say this.
Nope. Come on.
All Christians are not going to be delivered in time. All Christians have been delivered in eternity.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
We all have been delivered from the powers of darkness. And we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son.
Amen.
But in time, your deliverance is controlled by God's decree.
Come on.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
great prosperity preacher. I ain't miss her names, but in 9/11, I believe that God did it. He gave an account for all the family got killed. There was a group of families. It was almost like God had supernaturally took them out of those twin towers. And I was thinking, wonderful testimony. But now he didn't say one account. I think one or two pastors that died in those twin towers. He didn't get one account of men of God's people that died in those twin towers. So if you look at the workings of God in eternity, you won't be, it clears up a lot of things. Because look at how God works. There are some God's elect. We say whatever reason, God knows all things. There are some of God's elect, non-elect, that they, in those 9/11, those planes hit those twin towers, they called in sick. You know that place, I'm sure that happened, all those people were in that place. I know somebody called in sick that day. And they're saved. But then there are some of God's elect that went to work and got killed. See, if you don't look at the degree, the workings of God, you will all go through life wondering what happened. But if you see that all things are controlled by the workings of God, you will see that that was their course. Amen. That was their course. And it's okay to pray. Lord, is this okay to pray? Lord, the Lord tarried. Lord, if it's your will, give me 7 to 8 to 90 years. It's okay to pray that way. It's okay to pray that way, but in that prayer, but Lord, let thy will be done.
Amen.
Some of God's people are going to live to be 100 years old. Mm-hmm. Some 90, some 80. Mm-hmm. Some of God's people died childbirth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the workings of God, it clears up a lot of things.
Yes, sir.
I was in Bible class Friday. I was telling Pastor, some of you met my brother. I have four brothers and three sisters, 8 of us. And, we all were there for my mom last week. And it's interesting that the Lord, by decree, my mother, right now is 82 years old, 8 children. But so my sister put together a family tree. But it's interesting that my grandmother, my mother's mother, she was born. When my mother was born, I believe it was 2 weeks or 2 months. I believe it was 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, my mother's mother had died. It was a result of complications from childbirth. So looking at this, somebody said the devil did it. No, the devil didn't do nothing. It was God's plan. It was God's plan that my mother be born and my mother birth 8 children.
Amen.
It was also God's plan that my grandmother have a short life.
Amen.
So our gospel clears up a lot of these questions that people go through life with. And you can only get this information in our gospel.
Amen.
So God's statements of commands and directions are conveyed as documentation for manifestation purposes, while his eternal purpose are particularly enacted by their perception of having been actualized by his decree. There are a plethora of scripture conveyances in testimony. For example, let's look at some other examples. God commands all men everywhere to repent. You reference it, you find it in Acts chapter 17:30. It reads again. God commands men everywhere to repent. But let's look at this deeper. However, he only decreed it to some. He commands everyone to repent, but he on decree. In other words, the sinner, the non-elect, is not going to repent. Because he had to be drawn to repentance. And only God can do that. So the God that you are so excited about, who has done all these great things for you, the person God has not called, they laugh at these things. Because he's not God's elect. Amen. In this view, man is inability. He cannot come to God except God draws him. It is necessary to state that God cannot be blamed for man's depravity, as it is God's purpose rather than his command that guarantees that everything will be manifested, accomplished according to his counsel and decree. According to God's counsel and his decree determines all things. Now, There are two divisions we need to look at. Three references to men. In other words, God foreknew in eternity through actualization of his purpose and decree exactly what is done and will happen. It will come to pass. In the wilderness, the showbread was publicly displayed to remind Israel of the manna provided for them in their wilderness journey. God manifestly displayed his eternal purpose in his word to remind his people that their salvation was no afterthought with him.
Right.
In this sense, our salvation was also God's forethought.
Amen.
Your salvation is not an afterthought. Your salvation is a forethought.
Yes.
See, if you think your salvation is an afterthought, what you feel is that you have to have some input in your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I decided to do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No. But somebody said, I did get up. You know, somebody said, well, I got up one day and I just felt like going to church. Whatever source of manifestation God used, it was all a result of his eternal workings on your behalf. He was still in control. And then somebody say, preacher, the way you talk like it, I ain't got to do nothing. Hallelujah. You're right. You don't have to do anything. Because God's done it all.
Right.
Even the good works that you do.
Yes.
Somebody say, even the good works that you do is all a result of the manifested decree of God.
Yes.
We are created into Christ Jesus into good works.
Yes.
Which God had before ordained, that they shall come to pass. Every good work, every work that you do, is all decreed by God.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
But God's purpose to create is the same as in creation.
Right.
Having actualized itself by his decree. Let me close on this. Moreover, his purpose to save and tell the enactment a certain ones to salvation. Accordingly, creation and salvation coexist. Notice, creation and salvation coexist with God's purpose. See, we have a backwards. We think that one day, because we think that they are sequencing in the workings of God, most people think that one day, years ago, God created the heavens and the earth. And then what in time, you know, they say Moses came into the scene and then all past workings. And then they'll say, you know, here, the disciple Jesus born. And then they'll say the disciples were here. Jesus died. And then they'll say some 2,000 years later, I was born. In other words, they have your creation by God in front, preceding salvation, which really is the opposite. You were chosen in Christ before the creation of the foundation of the world. Somebody said, how can that be? It can be because it was already actualized by decree. And what is actualized by decree of God always precedes what's manifested in time. So when you read, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And if you read the accounts of Genesis, those are all manifestation works. Because God had already decreed creation. It had to manifest in time. And God just used what? The writers and Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the Apostle Paul. He used all the men, women of God to manifest his eternal workings. But it was all the result of what he had decreed in eternity. So let's look at this. We'll close on this. God's purpose. Four things to keep in mind. God's purpose to save designated ones by grace was before the word began. Referencing 2 Timothy 1:9. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Your grace, it says right here, the purpose and grace was given to you in Christ Jesus before, not after, before the world began. Another thing to keep in mind. The wisdom that conceived the plan to save the elect was ordained before the word began. Reference in 1 Corinthians 2:7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What is it so hard to see that God ordained everything by decree in eternity? Now somebody, where do you see man's free will in that? You read first Ephesians. It's all everything about God's will, God's purpose. Number three thing, the promise of eternal life was made by God before the world began. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. One corroboration is that in another writing it says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So we are just given different testimonial scriptures to see that your salvation was all a result of the eternal workings of God. And number four, the Lamb was slain in the purpose of God before the foundation of the world, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Reference in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Revelations 13:8. Number five. The election and actuation of the elect salvation was made before the foundation of the world, according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. For I being holy and without blame before him in love. You are without blame. You know, that's liberating right there, because a lot of people, Christians, beat themselves up. Some of you just have, we have all made some flip-flop bad mistakes, and here you are beating yourself up, and the Bible tells that you are still without blame. Amen. I will close on this. Give me about three more minutes. Amen. God has only one purpose, but it is manifest in many parts. The eternality of God's purpose means that all of his exhibited parts are by one intuition. This is corroborated in the Old Testament writings. God is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, even that he does. The reason that God does what he desires is because he has done, because God is only going to do what he has decreed. Man has succession of thoughts, but God never has a new thought. God never has a new thought. There's a, you know, God never has a new thought.
Amen.
See, you feel that, oh man, I prayed this prayer, and God just moved in and answered that prayer. You know y'all be thinking that way. What you're saying is that God had a new thought. Because what you're saying, when you say that God answered that prayer, what you're really saying is that the prayer was not answered before you prayed. And what you're really saying is that God had a new thought. But somebody say, God did answer that prayer. Well, let's look at it deeper. You remember? See, when you go to the other writers, it appears that what? They said something that God said and responded. But that was written in the knowledge that they had at that time. And the knowledge that we have today is that you prayed. Yes, we are to pray, but your prayer, if God answered that prayer, God only answered what was already decreed. And when you look at it that way, if you prayed and God gave you a raise, that raise was already in the mind of God.
Yeah.
In eternity. No new thought.
Yeah.
It was a new thought to you because that's the knowledge you had at that time.
Man.
So when you pray, and somebody, that's the reason why you can have peace and know there's not a person around here that hasn't prayed. And you pray and God said no. And you didn't understand that. And later on, you said hallelujah. You thank God he said no, because God had your best interest in part. We see things in time. God sees the whole picture.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. God sees the whole picture. And you know what? When you look at it in time, in eternity, it makes sense in time. Because God sees the whole picture, because his eternal workings is a result of his decree. And you know, every time I go to my home in North Carolina, I think of my old days. And I think of when I was in college, this girl, I just knew it was going to be my wife, you know. I just knew it. I knew it, man. I knew it, you know. But see, guess what? It wasn't decreed. And I didn't understand. I mean, I wasn't even, it was amazing. I wasn't even no manifested love of God, but part of me, you know, I was, you know, I was still belonging to God, but manifestation-wise, hey, I was out there.
Right.
But I was still, it's amazing. And the God, you know, I said, you know, why is my girl my wife? But Lord, again, I hadn't even met my wife then, but Lord, when I found out what the Lord, what was in her background, I said, thank God, he said, no, no, no. Thank God, he said, no. Because I was looking, come on, man, I was looking on the outward. God saw more than I saw. And I said, thank God, he said, no. In conclusion, all the workings of God are actualized by his decree in eternity. And when you abide in this information, you will have a greater burning and a greater insight to know that that is why that the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.